On the Pace, every weekday morning at 10:30.
And at 10:30 on a Sunday morning, we have Pacing Rewind. Fred Hastings is with us now. Freddie, good morning to you.
Simon, top of the morning to you, mate.
Pretty cold night at Menangle, I believe.
Yes, it was. I did see a brass monkey walking around with a spot welder in its hands, but no, it was, I think the temperature was about 10, but it had that, you know, that ambient feeling of about 3 degrees. So, yeah, it was beanies and heavy jackets come the last at 10:16.
And but nonetheless, a good night of harness action.
Oh, look, we saw some terrific racing. Group 2 race, of course, Group 2 racing with the True Blue finals for the Breeders' Challenge. There was a couple of very nice performances. Chasing the Wind on debut won its 2-year-old boys' runoff. And, of course, there was a boil over, a massive boil over in the fillies race. I'll give you a daisy a day for the latters. They were absolutely thrilled. Davey Morris doing the steering, and it won at the starting price of $126, 125-1 in the old speak, paid $90-odd on the tote, was in the early speed battle, and then took a trail before getting out off the back of the favourite straightening up, and it held a wall of horses and giving the family the biggest thrill in racing, a massive win at Group 2 level and another group race for Dave Morris. But I guess outside of that race, there were some other highlights which we'll talk about in a moment, but it was great to see the champ, Tiger Tara, back at the track.
As they run to the bend, Tiger Tara two clear, Shannon's a Blaster's second, getting to third on the inside, Sapphire Swayze, Real Stride, 27.7 the quarter, he gets busy on the Tiger, Tiger Tara, still a couple in front of Shannon's a Blast, Sapphire Swayze and Real Stride, they work down with 1.25 left to go, and it's still the Tiger, Tiger Tara clear, zooming home late as Outrageous L, Shannon's a Blast for third, but Tiger Tara's back in town. Tiger Tara beats the Outrageous L. It was some run. Got to within a length of the winner at the line.
So the replay there of Tiger Tara's win, Freddie, and that was the first we've seen of Tiger Tara since the Miracle Mile, wasn't it?
That's correct, yeah. First run back since its fifth in the Miracle Mile. Certainly Sydney's best open class horse. Will now go to the Blacks of Fake at Albion Park next week, their premier race on their calendar. And by all reports, I mean, you see a lot of these horses, these good horses, Simon, they come back and race over a mile. But Kevin Pizzuto, interestingly, put the horse in a 2,300-metre race first up, and I guess given the distance of the Blacks of Fake, he wants to, you know, wanted to give him a real test, a real searching test, and Toddy opened him up at the top of the straight, and look, his condition was maybe petering just a little bit, and Todd wasn't going to knock him around either, and Rageous L got to within a couple of metres of it, but look, you know, he's on song for, you know, next week's tilt. Kevin Pizzuto was happy how he pulled up, and Todd McCarthy was thrilled with the way the horse went. So it's going to be a terrific race next week, you know, when you consider horses like Colt 31. Now, Colt 31 ran second in the Sunshine Sprint behind a Hoka Punter last night. And fair to say, you know, Colt 31, he found the lead. A Hoka Punter sprint laned him and got up to win by about 3 or 4 metres on the line. But it's going to be a mouthwatering race next week. The Blacks are fake. Looking forward to that. But great to see Tiger Tara back at home and doing what he does best and winning. And certainly look forward to his coming clashes. Obviously, another tilt at the Inter-Dominions high on the agenda.
Well, a regular guest on Pacing Rewind on a Sunday morning is Shane Fritton Freddie, and he joins us now. Shane, good morning to you.
Hey, guys. How you going?
G'day, Shane. Thanks for your time. It's quite opportune we speak because it was a big night for the stable last night, and I've got a few other little questions, and I know we'll get to a stable announcement in just a moment, but you started the night off with a bang. Coco's fella who's been busting to, you know, win another race at town, certainly in Saturday class, got its chance last night and was quite dominant. Then you won with Motu Great Crasher from last, an ideal pleasure, that Grand Mare. Let's go through the three horses. Coco's fella just been super consistent since it's come to the barn.
Yeah, look, he's probably one of the quirkiest horses since we've had Five Stewie Lombo. He's got an attitude, and he's everything scares him. And you know, it's a credit to Lauren actually, because I was only working during the week, and I went to go past the tractor, and I went onto the infield at full speed. So he's very strange horse to drive, and Lauren was probably a little bit apprehensive last night from barrier one, but yeah, she's obviously driving really well, and it just shows the horses. I think he's going to be a real star. I really like him. He's green as grass, but yeah, he's definitely a horse on the rise, that's for sure.
Certainly some upward scope. What about Motogate Crasher, another who was making its debut for the stable? I remember seeing it coming down the side of the track near enough to last and thought, gee, you're going to have to get on your bike here, and boy, oh boy, did he what?
Yeah, well, look, I think Lauren even said he was switching off halfway down the straight, so he's obviously got a big motor there. We're still trying to work him out, and we probably went into last night a little bit blind because we weren't really sure. I spoke to Jeff during the week and asked him what he thought, the owner, and we just said we'd set him up his first start and see what he does. But he really impressed us. But look, I think he suits the system in Sydney, and, you know, he's probably a horse that is good enough to compete in the free-for-all. So hopefully, we can progress with him, and, you know, maybe last night was just the start of things.
So that's where you see him ultimately racing, going through the grades and racing the better horses?
Well, look, I think he's done that in the past, his whole career, you know. Yeah. He's competed in derbies. He's done just about everything you could ask of him. So, you know, he's still a relatively unraced horse, only had about 40 starts. So I think he's due to break into the big time. And, look, we're still learning with him, so we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. But I do like him, and I do think he'll suit the mile racing at Menangle.
A mare that I've got a lot of time for in your barn is Ideal Pleasure. Won her 10th race last night, sat in a lovely trailing spot. It was a gun drive, pulled her out of the top of the lane, and she's now taken her stakes earnings up over $80,000, and she's always competitive, Shane, in these type of races.
Yeah, look, it's probably more of a credit to the owners. They've been very patient with her, and we've spelled her at the right times. We dodged all the big races and put her out, and, you know, they've always said to us from day one, just take your time. We want her to be a top-class mare, and, to their credit, she's done that job for them. So, she's done really well last night, personal mile rate, and in a really cold night. So, you know, it's... I don't know what it is with her and Lauren. That horse seems to go three lengths better for Lauren than anyone. So it's hard to juggle all these mares around. We've got a few nice ones. But, she certainly stood up last night and said that I am good enough to sort of aim at a race like a Ladyship Mile. And hopefully in another 6 months, she's going to be a little bit better.
And speaking of Lauren, she made it four wins. The stable won three, the training partnership. But Lauren won the last with Jedi Mind. Four wins for the night. Pretty fair old effort.
Yeah, she's done a real good job. You know, she's, when she gets in the vein, you can't stop her. So she's, she really drove well last night, and good to see DJ get a win with Jedi. You know, Jedi's been with just, I've trained him at one point. Everyone's had him, but
yeah, he's had a few homes.
He has, and I think he does a good job for everyone. He's a grand old horse.
Absolutely. Now, as far as there's a stable announcement that I know you'd like to make, I guess opportune to share that now, given that we've just been talking about Lauren and her four wins.
Yeah, look, we've had something going on with her for quite some time, with a bit of a, I guess you would call it a injury in her back. She's had a lot of scans and things done, and they found it's something that she was born with a bottom of a lower back, and it's something that's been got worse with driving and compression with driving and the falls she's had, and even having a baby. All this stuff has put pressure on certain parts of her back, and we've been trying to work out what we can do to help her with it. And so we've been seeing specialists for the last sort of month and trying to work out what to do. And the main consensus is that she's never rested it. She's always, even when she's not driving, she's got time or something, she's still driving track work. So there's always pressure on her back, the compression on her back. And so,
in the upper spine, the lower spine?
Lower spine,
yeah.
The bottom vertebrae that's causing the problem. And they... pretty much said that they think that they can fix it. They're going to give us some treatment, some injections, and she's got to sort of stop getting in the cart for 4 to 6 weeks to stop the compression so that she can learn to stretch it and get it to align back where it should be. And they think if she can do that now at a young age, then there's a chance that, you know, she can look after it and it'll be better. But, yeah, she has been driving with a little bit of discomfort, and, you know, it's something that we just said, look, there's no right time. We've always got a horse like God Spirit's back racing now, and it's a big pointer and a horse that she doesn't want to get off. But I just said, cut a line in the sand, do what you got to do, and the horses will be there for you when you get back. So
yeah, we all know health comes first, Shane. So the first step, some injections. So that'll be, yep. I guess, as a measure to try and avoid possible surgery. Is that what, where you're heading?
Yeah, look, there was a bit of a worry that they were thinking of surgery, and that's obviously scary at her age with the back.
Yep.
So we went the cautious approach. It's probably takes a little bit longer to heal, but you know, we're saying let's try this way. And they're confident that it's more the compression that's causing the issues. So if she can sort of learn to stretch it and get it back the other way and then look after it, then possibly the injury will heal itself. So that's the first call. But, yeah, officially she won't be jumping
in the
cart.
Finished her season as it stands now, Shane?
It looks that way.
Yep.
You know, we'll let her go as we want, but we just want to give her every chance to get right. And, yeah, she's too young to be dealing with back issues.
Mm.
Hopefully this is a step in the right direction, and it's unfortunate because she's obviously driving in good form, but at least she went out with a win.
Well, she went out with four, which is even better, I guess, and I can only imagine she's going to go stir-crazy around the stables not being able to do anything. How are you going to cope?
Oh, look, I think I'll be right. I'd hate to be the guys jumping on, but end of the
day...
You think
she'll give them some advice?
Well, she might give them some criticism, but... yeah,
post-race advice.
It's the best thing for her, you know. We know that, and the owners know that, and you know, it'll give you know, young Michael Ferguson a chance to jump on some nice horses. He'll be driving God's Spirit on Tuesday, and yeah, it's obviously he's a young driver, and he might be able to get his chance to show what he can do.
Yeah, you got God's Spirit in on Tuesday. I said in the call on the post race after his first run back that whatever he did or whatever he was going to do in that race, there'd be improvement. Is that how it's eventuated over the past fortnight?
Yeah, definitely. We've taken a stance in his time in that we try and teach him to settle. We did that in his trials, and he settled really well. So he was probably always going to be underdone first up. We drew awkwardly, so he had to lead. Probably didn't want to do that, and he's probably going to have to lead again on Tuesday in the race he's in. But we just wanted to keep him settled and let him race tractively rather than the tearaway horse that he was last time.
Yep.
In. So he's really doing that. I'm over the moon with him. He's feeling great. Had a real good hit out yesterday. He'll definitely be better on Tuesday, and hopefully going forward we can at some point sit him up and let him show that electric speed that he's got.
What about Muscle Factory? Where's he at?
Yeah, look, he's come along really well. He's had a fair bit of rehabilitation. He's had water walking. He's been treadmilling. He's been starting to walk and then jog in the cart. So he's had a fair bit of work without doing anything hard, and it's everything holding together quite well. His legs look super, so we're not going to get ahead of ourselves, but it's certainly all gone the way that we wanted it to so far.
And Shane, I'll leave you with this question. Pre-race, when Franco Nelson last race, I alluded on the coverage that, you know, it might have been today or bust with him, given that you've done so much and put in so much effort to keep him going and get him to the races, given the injury issues he's had and the niggles he's had, the war horse that he is. He finished out of the money. What's the latest with Franco Nelson? Is it a case of is he nearing, you know, the back end of his career?
Yeah, look, it's been a, you know, hard thing to do, and to bring him back so many times, and this time we tried to do it the right way, and which was not to push him and to keep him sound, and we had to sort of push him a bit to get him to where he needed to be. And his last start, Lauren just said he just at about 600 metres to go, he just started to hang, and he just sort of let her know that he couldn't do it, and so she just let him ease down. And from that point onwards, we come back, and there's pretty much no doubt in my mind that he's probably run his last race. We didn't want to officially retire him yet. It was not really our choice to do that. So we'll talk to the owners this week and make it probably a final call on him. But, look, he's pulled up fine. He's a little bit sore, and that's been a problem with his whole career. But he's just been such a good horse, and it kind of breaks your heart to make a decision that, yeah, he won't race again. So at this point in time, I've got no doubt. I don't think he'll race again. But to officially retire, we'll speak to the owners
and make
a call on his future in the next few days.
Understand. All right, Shane. Well, as always, well, firstly, congratulations on the first three races last night. It's a great way to start a race meeting with a hat trick. And well done to Lauren with four. We wish Lauren all the best in her recovery and ongoing rehabilitation towards getting back in the cart. As you say, she's young enough and fit enough that all things being equal, modern medicine may well be able to aid her return to the sulky quicker than it may other people. So well done in that regard, and good luck on Tuesday with God's Spirit. I look forward to seeing him go around.
Beautiful. Thanks, mate.
Good on you, Shane. Shane Tritton there, Simon.
Yeah.
Big news there. So Lauren is out, I guess we'd have to say, for an indefinite period whilst she undergoes this treatment and then the ongoing rehabilitation. And then there'll be obvious, situation where she'll need to prove her fitness and all the rest of it. So, but one hell of a way to go out. Short term, Simon, four winners.
Well, you mentioned the Sunshine Sprint last night, which was at Albion Park, Freddie, and Colt 31 just going down to a Hocker Punta. The Queensland Oaks was on. Did you see that race at all? And Addis Purden had another shorty.
Stunning, stunning race. Lochinvar Art, the Derby. The Derby, you mean?
The Queensland Oaks.
All right, okay. No,
our Princess Tipper at $1.04.
Yeah. No, it was big, and the horse I wanted to mention before we wrapped up was Self Assured. I got tipped off this horse was going to be something special quite a while ago, and it really exceeded my expectations last night because the horse sat outside Lochinvar Art, and it was a gigantic performance, won it by an eyelash, but did all the work outside the leader. He is a horse that, going forward, Simon, we're going to see a whole lot more about and hear a whole lot more about Self Assured. As good as Lochinvar Rad is, and we all know Lochinvar Rad is an outstanding horse, just seems to be bumping into horses that that are going just a little bit better. But unfortunately, last night it was the case of Self Assured beating Lochinvar Rad. The Oaks, Our Princess Tiffany, yep, another one for the All-Star Stable, won it comfortably in the end, but as you say, at prohibitive odds on, $1.04, and I guess no real surprise there. And as you touched on, the Hoka Punter was able to upset Colt 31, so it augurs well for next week as far as the Black Safari goes, with Tiger Tara heading north.
Good stuff, Freddie. We better wrap it up there. Thanks for your help as always, and we'll chat again next week.
Simon, we shall indeed.
It's 13 minutes to 11, and Michael Cowley is standing by to take a look at the world of greyhound racing.
Greyhound racing takes place all over the world,
but Australia leads the way for sheer quality.
Daily Sky Sports Radio, your racing leader.
Greyhound racing in New South Wales, Mick Cowley, good morning to you.
Good morning, Simon. How are you this morning?
Not too bad, thanks. So another great night of action at Wentworth Park last night. A couple of feature races there with the Vic Peters as well as the Peter Mossman Opal. But let's take a look at the Vic Peters first. And in fact, let's have a listen to the replay. And once again, it was Feral Frankie, the crowd favourite, not letting anyone down.
Racing, Feral Frankie got away cleanly. Show Business is showing dash. Kid Candle driving up on the rails. Corborn Marty getting a rails run through. Kid Candle went to the lead by three over Corborn Marty. Feral Frankie, he's on the move. Then Charlie Casey, Show Business, Mr. Hollywood, followed up by Wellback Webleck Jack. They're coming to the home corner. Kid Candle led. Here comes Frankie. Feral Frankie in the centre, moved up, hit the lead. Corborn Marty going with him. The Feral. Feral Frankie has won the Vic Peters. Feral Frankie has beaten home Corborn Marty and Kid Candle, who ran the race of his life. They were followed up by Western Envoy, who was charging late in a photo with Charlie Casey. Then Mr. Hollywood, Webleck Jack, and it wound up near the tail with Charlie Casey.
Yeah, great call of the Vic Peters there from Timmy Newbold last night. Mick, Feral Frankie's done it again. Overcame a bit of a tricky draw there in five, but was able to beat Corborn Marty by half a length.
No, fantastic. He did get very excited there, Tim, not just because it was a Group 1, but just Feral Frankie just seems to really get everyone excited in greyhound racing at the moment, and no different to that, I'm sure, is his trainer, Jack Smith, who joins us online. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, Mick.
Mate, does he get you excited? You're a fairly level-headed sort of guy, country guy from Forbes, but does this bloke get you excited when he races?
Certainly does. He's just very exciting to watch, and yeah, we get excited.
You said something very interesting last night when we were chatting. You said that he's not just yours or the owner's anymore. He's kind of everyone's dog, and that's the way he's become. The cult following behind Feral, or the Feral, as everyone's calling him now.
Yeah, everybody seems to want a little bit. They all want to pat him and talk about him, and yeah. Just become the real people's dog, hasn't he?
Absolutely, absolutely. You also mentioned that you don't train him any different to any of the other dogs, but he's just that perfect sort of greyhound.
Yeah, certainly no special treatment. He's just a full package. He's just got a big motor and a will to win, and the rest he just, you know, he's unbelievable track sense and just chases so hard. So we're just very lucky, Marie and I, that we've been able to train him.
But he didn't jump away that badly last night and got into third. Do you hold your breath a bit into that first turn and hope that he gets through and gets into a spot?
Yeah, you're always holding your breath with him because he's in the... Sometimes it's a little bit better when he misses a kick because he just waits for the runs. But when he jumps as well as he has the last couple of weeks, he's found himself in traffic. So, it'll be a good trade, I suppose. Jump better, but, he handles himself so well. So he very rarely runs into him. If he finds trouble, it's usually the other dogs, you know, getting a bit of backwash off the other dogs or something, but that's racing. You just got to cop it.
He actually really showed that on the home turn last night. Yeah, he could have gone inside, but decided to shoulder his way through between the two leaders and got the run, and away he went. It's certainly got plenty of track sense and smarts about him.
Yeah, he's uncanny. He just seems to be able to hop a check, but not lose any ground, and he just falls on his feet and accelerates through it. I don't know. We've never had a dog like that before. They usually lose momentum and they've got to recover. And as you know, a greyhound race is one, you know, it's so fast. So they usually don't get time, but he just has an unbelievable knack of doing it. So I can't put my finger on it, but like I said, we're just very lucky we got it.
Mate, don't need to put your finger on why, as long as he keeps doing it. That's all that matters.
That's about it.
Did you realise early on when you got him from the breakers that there was something special about him, or is that something, because he's only really been racing since November last year, is something you picked early on when he entered the kennel?
Yeah, he came with his brother, and they both come with, they had ability. But, you never know it, that you got feral, but he does it. So, you know, the brother was nowhere as near as strong. I mean, you couldn't have separated them. But it's in Tasmania, Feral got over 300,000 alongside his name. So that's just, you know, it's just time, yeah. That you never know until it happens.
The decision to, after the Flying Amy, to bypass the Brisbane Cup and not tackle it and come back for the Vic Peters, was that purely based on the fact that this is, you only get one opportunity for these age classics, you may as well take them while they're around?
Exactly. I mean, that's why they're there, for dogs like Feral and that. And they would have been nice to probably go in the Cup, but you can't do them both. And we decided that he'd done such a great job up there that this might be the best option, and it left me with a week to go to the Meadows and trial him because of the upcoming maturity, and I wouldn't have had a chance otherwise. So this is the way we decided to go, and it's worked out fine as far as we're concerned, yeah.
You mentioned the maturity. That's on in coming weeks. That's obviously the next target. How did he trial down there?
He ran 29.85 and he railed really hard. As you can imagine, that's what he does, and we were quite happy with it. So go back and see what happens.
Absolutely. You'll obviously head down there next week.
Yes. Meadows is maybe a couple of hours, hour and a half longer than Wenny, so it's not much difference for me.
Lucky you like driving.
Sorry?
Lucky that you like driving.
Yeah, well, it makes it a little bit easier when Feral's sitting behind me.
After any thoughts after maturity, or you just take it as it is? Obviously, you've got $1 million chase coming up. Is that something that's in the back of the mind, or you don't look that far ahead?
We don't look that far ahead. We're just maturity at the moment. We'll go from there.
Fair enough. Mate, Group 1s, you've won them before. Are they always as special as the previous one?
Oh, they certainly are. They're all good. So it's only my second one. So it was special, all right. Big Daddy B was my first one. Brad Hill Billy runs second in a gold mystery. That was as close as he got. But it's every trainer's dream to win a Group 1, I think. And we've been lucky enough to win two, so... Yeah, very privileged.
Mate, you've just moving away from Frankie for a moment. You've got a couple in at Dubbo today, one in particular, Rinka Sadie. She's unbeaten in three starts. Bit of promise there.
Yeah, Sadie's got a little bit of ability, and we're just educating her around the country track. And the prize money's very good out in around Dubbo and Bathurst and these places now. So. She hasn't drew that well again in a corner start, but she handles herself nice. But her box manner hasn't been great, but she's got away with it so far. So let's hope she can tonight. And
Thanks,
the other dog, he's I think it's he's drew box two. We had a fair opinion of him earlier on, but he hasn't really lived up to it. But he's hopefully it'll come soon.
Right. Best of luck today, and best of luck with Frankie next week. And Ray, appreciate your time coming on, and congratulations on last night.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me, mate.
Cheers, mate. Well, there he was, Simon. A very, very happy, laconic Jack Smith. He's one of the great characters of the sport, and the dog has become the character of the sport, particularly in New South Wales at the moment.
Yeah, hasn't it ever? So alongside the Vic Peters last night, we had the Peter Mossman on as well. Now let's take in the Battler's call here of race 7 on the card, the Peter Mossman Opal Final.
Racing, Miley Nismo began well. Flossing came out running and is rushing across to go to the lead. Miley Nismo's driving hard, got on her heels through the first turn but held second. They'll follow by Starter Right, Mapunga Frankie. They'll follow by Zipping Trivia, Long Break Really Unreal, Aston Peregrine and Vouchers at the rear. Coming off the back, Flossing led on the inside, trying to gut it down as Miley Nismo down the centre. Starter Right hit the lead. Starter Right too strong. Starter Right has gone home to win it by 2.5 and beaten Miley Nismo. Flossing, Zipping Trivi and Really Unreal. Then Mapunga Frankie followed in by Vouchers, and it has wound
up. So Starter Right winning the Peter Mossman there, Mick, for Keith Elmott, defeating Miley Nismo and Flossing. It was a great night of greyhound action at Wynyard last night, wasn't it?
Nate, it sure was indeed, and obviously that trophy heading back to Victoria. Keith, I'm sure some people will remember, had a dog back 6-7 years ago now, a dog called Peter Rocket. It won the Dapto Megastar. It was a very handy type, and Keith and his wife were back last night to win another Group 1.
So that was the Peter Mossman there. Now we better run through a few of our other topics. We had an auction last night at Wenty. How did that go?
Mate, it was very good, very successful, and congratulations to all people that were involved in it. I think we did mention it briefly last week. It was to raise funds for our tragic situation in Singleton, Hunter Valley, late last month, where there was a house fire, and as a result of that fire, three young children were lost. Their mother, Cara Atkins, and her daughter Bailey managed to escape, pulled through a window by neighbours. And Cara's uncle is Tony Atkins, a well-known trainer and GBOTA member. So this auction was organised by another participant, Ash Thomas, who donated a pup, Aston DB Think-A-Lot pup. And that was auctioned last night, along with services to a number of leading sires, and also a silent auction for some memorabilia, and donations were taken as well. well. And long story short, Simon, is that at the end of the night, the grand tally was $50,000 that was raised. So that will now go to Bailey and Mother Cara. So it's fantastic by all involved and truly, truly worthy cause.
Yeah, they would have been delighted with that figure, I'm sure, before the auction to get anywhere near $50,000. That's a tremendous result.
Absolutely, absolutely. The pup itself went for 15.